It's ladies. Stop. If you want to avoid toxic masculinity, you stay away from those those closing doors.
We're brought to you today for a very grim episode of Cold Blooded. It's not often that we have to backpedal and find ourselves in a sticky situation, PR-wise. And we here at Cold Blooded have prepared a statement. Isaac, take it away.
On behalf of us here at the Cold Blooded podcast, Drew, myself, I mean, that's pretty much it. We would like to formally apologize to the Colts organization and Quiddipay for suggesting that the drafting of Leatu Latu might force the Colts to cut pay before learning that the Colts picked up his fifth-year option.
Super sorry about that, Quiddy.
We here at the Cold Blooded Podcast have nothing but the utmost respect for Pay and his ultra-quick Twitch style of play, but what would you expect?
We
have Latu, Ebukam, Pay, Odangbo, and Taekwon on the edge. We are going to have more rotation than a lazy Susan. We would like to apologize again for that half-assed apology. It was very Mel Gibson-esque. We truly are happy that Quiddy is still on the team, if for no other reason than we have now the coolest edge rusher names in the NFL. I mean, come on. Leatu Latu, Quiddy Pay, Samson Ebukam, Dayo Odangbo. When you think about it, Taekwon is the most normal name on our roster.
Love that name.
Our devotion to the Colts franchise and the decisions they've made remain unwavering here at Cold Blooded, mainly because we're from Indy and not Baltimore.
That's right.
Regards from your favorite stand-up comedians, Isaac Allen and Drew Lynch. Go horse.
Nay, I think that was so well said, and it didn't feel rehearsed or written at all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very much. And it very much came from the heart,
yeah,
and the mind in the moment.
We support you, Quiddy, and potentially this could be a year where it is breakout season, or we don't sign you again next season, and so we will have a chance to apologize again, just double down on the mistake that we made in the past.
And we will still be upset at any player who underperforms.
That's right.
As most angry fans who have never played a down of football are wont to do.
Expect the heat. Expect it. Mm-hmm. Now, I think something that has been a burning question for me, Isaac, in all of these days leading up to this next episode that we're here able to record since the completion of the draft. How long is Chris Ballard's hair going to go? He said that he was going to grow it out until a Super Bowl. So what are we looking at here? Are we looking at shoulder length? Are we looking like down to his butt? Do we know how fast he can grow hair?
Well, first of all, we all know that this is a double, you know, this is like a double whammy for him in a good way because of how frugal he is. Now, not only is he saving so much money in cap space on players, but also on haircuts.
And I won't even go to the haircuts, man.
Yeah. I think that's really why he's doing it, because he can't not hold out for some deal.
Well, cap space. He'll be able to get a haircut when the cap increases again next year.
Yeah. He's got follicle space now that he can deal with.
Head space.
Yeah, he's got head space.
He's got head space. I love that for Chris Ballard. He's got something going on, man. It feels very midlife crisis CCE. He's like in his I don't give a shit. He's like in his I don't give a shit type place with his general manager tenureship, right?
And you know what's the best about it? None of his hair is gray.
Yeah, I know.
That dude's old, isn't he? Isn't he in like 60s or something?
No, I think he's 50.
50s?
I think he's maybe 50.
He's in shape.
He is in shape.
He's got no gray hairs in that long mane.
Well hydrated.
I think he's TRT in it.
What's that?
Testosterone boosting.
You think so?
I think he might be, man.
I mean, where is he going to go? You know what I mean? He's 54, by the way.
54.
I just mean, like, you know, out in the Midwest, you got a bunch of fields to run off all them high T levels. But I don't know. I mean, I think he's
run off all them high T levels.
Yeah, but I think he's like he's not striking me as someone who cares too much about anything. And I just don't know if it's like. I think he's getting better with the less fucks he gives. That's what I think, as a general manager.
Interesting. So it's like for you, the correlation of hair growth it's positively correlated to his decision
making. To the fucks given
as a
GM. To the fucks not given,
which is positively correlated to his decision making as a GM.
I think so, because I think when Ballard tries to outsmart, you know, when he tries to be like, I'm the smartest guy, and I have an Ivy League haircut. Mm-hmm. To support that theory, then that's when he starts picking players like, you know, Curtis Brooks and stuff like that. And you're like, what are we doing right now? When he's picking at fucking, who is it? What is it? Ture. Damn it. If I see Kamoko Ture one more time on my screen.
I still know which play you're mad about, too, because I was with you for that
play.
Yeah,
it was the Titans game.
Yeah. What was it when he did like a... He had an offsides call on like a fourth down and something.
Yes.
All he had to do, and the play was not good. It didn't work.
That was short hair Ballard's fault. I can't even blame Kamoko.
You know what? That means Ballard is like his hair growth and his decision making on his head is the opposite of Frank Reich's on his face.
Yes.
Because the longer his beard got, the more he sucked at what
that's
he was
true.
Doing.
He did get a little bit into his Gandalf stage towards the end there.
But you got to have the Gandalf hair, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Although, I'd say Ballard looks a little more like Aragorn.
Ooh.
He's the king.
Ooh,
he's
I like the that. King. I like that a lot. And speaking of Frank Reich, I think there is a huge correlation, because we know that Chris Ballard, in his last press conference regarding AD Mitchell... He kind of went off with some expletives, you know? He swore and then he apologized for swearing, but then said he wasn't really sorry about swearing. I am all for, Isaac, the implementing of expletives in the Colts building.
We need it. Like, too long have we suffered through two coaches that were touted up top.
Yes.
Ended up being huge busts that didn't curse.
The team that they will get to coach in heaven will be great, because they are godly men.
Yeah.
And that is not something to shame.
But we
are playing football down here on earth.
Yeah, they're going to be at the pearly gates.
Yes.
St. Peter's going to be like, so I see here that you guys were a couple of the worst coaches that have ever been in the NFL.
Yeah.
You started out, you had like one good year.
You missed the playoffs, and you said gush darn.
Yeah.
And for that reason...
And frickin'.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah.
If there was a frickin' award, it would go to Chuck Pagano.
Yeah, and then what did... I don't even know. Oh, ticked off. That's what Frank Reich would say. He said, mm-hmm. and I'm ticked about that.
Ticked.
And I just don't think
easy.
Ticked gets you... Frank.
Whoa.
Easy, dude. Easy.
Yeah, ticked doesn't get you Lombardis.
Let's not come unglued. Let's just...
Let's keep
ticked
it.
Does not get you in the ticked doesn't get you a 9-win season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think like you can't feel like you actively are feeling supported as a fan. You can't feel like you're getting support from your coach by someone who says that they're ticked. You know what I mean? And then cuts into a waffle shortly after that, and is like, well, I'm, man, we'll get him next time. And it's like, we're not at a place where we'll get him next time. We need someone who's fucking furious.
And now, let's keep in mind, now we're talking about coaches, not GMs. But it's so particular.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, it goes with both categories.
Yeah.
Like, think about it this way. Let's do a scale of it, okay?
Right.
You said 9-8, that 9-8 season, that's the highest you can get with ticked, okay?
Yeah, that's your ceiling.
So frickin'.
Right.
That's, what, like a 7-9? Back in the day when it was...
Yes.
Yeah.
You had Chuck Pagano, who had Andrew Luck, a generational talent. Imagine if Chuck gave a fuck. If Chuck gave a fuck, Luck would have been...
Why the fuck could Chuck not give a fuck?
Because it was because of Luck. Luck, we put too much. We put too much on Luck's... on Luck's schmuck. Luck's schmuck, Chuck, would never gave a fuck. And so we would miss...
Yeah. We kept making Luck give
we would
all
miss
the
out on a buck.
We kept making Luck give all the fucks.
Right.
While Chuck
gave no fucks.
So we missed out on the bucks. On the buck. And now we have a buck.
Right.
Who plays nose tackle.
Shucks. Aw, shucks. I think Shoot Shane, because I call him Shoot Steichen. That's what I call him. Shoot. I call him Shoot Steichen because
I love it.
He couldn't, first of all, he could not get more fired up during that. He was all out of fired ups.
Can I call him Shooter Shane?
You could do whatever you want. I call him Shoot Shane around my house. I call him Shoot Shane. That's what I call him. Shoot Steichen is what I call him. Because he does. He goes, you know, I mean, shoot. And he does that. He does it almost as a filler. But also, yeah. But also, he's willing to, we know that he swears too. With the last season, mm-hmm. we know that he swears. When you see the camera in the locker room, you know what I mean? And you see a Shane who's like, that's what I'm fucking talking about.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm fucking talking about. You know, it's easier to punch a locker and get your mind ready for the animosity that has to happen on the field for when somebody says, that's what I'm fucking talking about. Not like, you know, we had ourselves a day. You know?
Yeah, because let's face it, and this is an argument I'll have with my girlfriend till the day I die, or we die,
right.
or we die together, or separate, however it works out.
Either way, okay? It's romantic.
We'll not get into that.
Yeah.
But, I'll argue this till the day I die. There, you need toxic masculinity in professional sports.
You do not need it.
It has to be in certain areas.
Right. In any
in certain areas.
Exactly. In professional sports. Any other
professional.
Yeah, if you just do sports and there's toxic masculinity,
no, not
it's not good enough.
You don't want peewee football coaches kicking the locker rooms and taking players' helmets and shoving fucking Bob Knight throwing basketballs at his players in college. Like that. You don't want that, although they won a lot.
Yeah. I think that's the difference between what makes it masculinity is winning. It's toxic
hilarious.
Either way, but what makes it masculine is victory.
Victory. The conquering. The warlike mentality.
Fucking victory.
If we're going to go back to Lord of the Rings, I got Lord of the Rings shoes for my birthday, dog.
Oh,
how sick are these?
That is very cool.
Then my girlfriend got these for me to support my toxic masculinity.
Yeah, it doesn't match your outfit, not one bit, but
dude,
yeah.
What is it? One Aomer of Rohan says, war is the province of men.
Jeez, I don't know any of this.
Yeah, I know you don't.
You could have said anything right now. I have
you
no idea.
You made fun of me for this for years, and I'm okay with it.
That's
because so has everybody else, including my love.
I'm not even tearing you down. I just have no idea what you said.
You know why you're not tearing me down? Because you, in the context of the Colts, it mm-hmm. makes fucking sense that there's this fellowship, let's say, mm-hmm. amongst this team, and you need a leader who curses.
Yeah.
You need someone in there.
And I think Shane, he splits the difference, because he says a lot of shoot, you know what I mean? He goes, I mean, shoot, heck, you know, when he goes, I mean, shoot, and heck, he does. He shoots and hecks a lot.
I mean, yeah,
he does shoot and heck, but when it comes to, like, game time, he elevates his intensity, you know? I remember looking at a lot of the footage of D'Amico Ryans in the Texans locker room last season, and that was... It was shared on their social media team. I don't want you to think I scouted, I found film.
No, you had sunglasses on. You snuck in there with a Texans hat.
Yeah.
You were like, yeah, these Texans are my favorite team. Yeah. That's why I'm scouting for them.
Boy, I love
it. Don't you guys agree?
H-Town. Yeah. He is just fired up. You know, like, he is someone who is I can't believe I said fired up. He is someone... Oh man, that's contagious.
I didn't even catch
that. Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
He really is. He elevated his energy to match either the victory or the severity of what the stakes should convey in a locker room situation. But I completely agree with what we just came up with here, which is that the only thing that makes it masculine is victories. Because if you're toxic on a peewee league, if you have toxic masculine, if you're toxic on a peewee league, it's just.
But
it's
also,
failure.
But also, if you
and embarrassment.
But you know where toxic masculinity also prevails? Female sports.
Oh, wow. Wow. This is getting controversial.
No,
and
just,
I like
but,
it.
No, but I'm just saying.
No, I like it.
But I'm just saying.
I'm not going to back down from what I like right now.
Look at, what's her name that just got drafted by the Fever?
We're talking Caitlin.
Fuck you, rest of the WNBA. We're sweeping
That's
it
right.
with Caitlin, bro.
That's right.
We got Caitlin.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, we pay attention to indie sports a little bit.
No, she's great.
But
she's incredible.
But dude, there's so much footage about out there of just her with toxic masculinity, bro.
Do you think she has that?
I think she's got
enough,
but she's got
enough
about
her.
I think she's
what constitutes
cool.
toxic masculinity,
like,
do you
think?
In a Caitlin Clark way.
Like, okay, what would you consider that a dude would do in the NBA? It's
punch
the same.
A chick? Wait, that's, in the
NBA. What the, would be?
Oh, toxic, I thought you said NFL. Hang on. No. I was like, in the NFL, that happens all the time, and it's always in an elevator. Stop taking elevators, ladies.
If there's any moral to this story, it's ladies. Stop. If you want to avoid toxic masculinity, you stay away from those closing doors, those sliding doors. When someone hits the door close button, just don't get on.
I think it might be a trigger response that from the CTE, these football players have two things coming at them from their periphery, and they just fucking...
Yeah. I will not be boxed in! Aaron Donald's sitting in an elevator. I'm not getting double teamed.
I'm getting double teamed.
You see dents in the elevator door.
Yeah, dude. That's why he can't.
It opens on floor 10. Ding. People are just like, what the fuck
is that's why, dents in the elevator? That's why football players, they can only stay at Hilton's and like Hamptons. You can't be getting in none of this Westin shit where it comes from the center.
I bet when they go
you need one of these.
They go to hotel rooms for like the games, like to the visiting team, and they're like, hey, we're taking the elevator up. Aaron. Donald, why are you taking the stairs? He's like, dog, I can't revisit that trauma. You know what I mean? I can't be triggered right now.
Yeah.
I'll punch a woman in the face if I'm triggered.
Yeah. Women trigger masculinity, and it's their fault.
It's yeah, 100%. But
anyway, I don't know what constitutes as toxic masculinity for Caitlin Clark, and I don't want to put that. I don't want to put that on
okay,
her
let's
because
think
she's
about
her own being, and she's the right amount of athlete, regardless of sex. Or I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is anymore. Regardless
I'll put it to you this way:
of the privates, she is an incredible athlete.
I'll put it to you this way: I'm being extreme.
Right.
Obviously, we're joking around.
Yes,
and
of course.
Like toxic masculinity. When I say it's necessary in certain instances, like you say, punch a locker, right?
Yeah,
that'd be toxic masculinity, right?
Sure.
Even if you're in a locker room full of men, that would be considered that. Maybe
well,
not
hang
to
on.
Those
was
men.
Was he provoked? What did the locker do? There's a lot of questions. I mean,
was it the same locker that he was stuffed in when he was a nerd and then hit his growth spurt and then became an athlete?
Came back. It's like okay. Full circle moment.
Yeah. What is the inanimate object's role in this? It's always important to ask when dudes hit things like tables and roofs of cars.
Yeah.
But. No, it's like, well, like if Caitlin Clark were in a locker room and like they were just down a lot or something and then it was halftime and they knew it was a team they could beat and she just had to get someone fired up, like punch the locker. Like,
really?
If she did that would be, I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's toxic masculinity, but I think it could be necessary.
I think you're right because I think only a dude can just blindly yell at other people and other people should interpret that as motivation, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and let's...
Like, that's something that only a dude is dumb enough to be like, I have to just yell.
Yeah.
Like, I think why women are more evolved than us is they are going to, like, they process the way they feel, and then they try to calculate a solution. Guys are just like, I'm going to yell until I figure it out.
Yeah, oh, man, I mean, if you ever seen any dude try and put together furniture from IKEA, that's exactly what it is.
Oh.
I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, I don't have a lot of toxic masculinity. I don't have a lot of masculinity. But I know that there are things that frustrate me. Like,
I see that in you. I see you have a cap on irritation. You don't really go to anger outwardly.
Right.
Whereas I do. Like, that's something I've been working on for years.
Yeah.
Is like, I get irritated easily, and then I would hit anger easily. Now I'm more like you, where I can get irritated easily, but and when it hits anger, I just do my best to try and... I go do deep breathing. I walk away. I play drums. I do whatever I got to do to just get that out. But I think
frustration is key.
But if you and I were playing, well, it's definitely key to comedy.
Yes.
It's 100% key to comedy.
Yes.
But also to sports. I think you have to hit that anger switch sometimes.
Yeah.
You got to punch a lock. You got to swear. You have to do things like that. And like, I think that, okay, so if we're talking about the bracket here, if it's like 7-9 is the cap you can get with, frickin'
and ticked
Pagano frickin' and then ticked can get you, you know, 9-8
they're
eight,
right around
eight,
the
nine,
same to
whatever,
me
right around the same,
you know.
So where I like with Steichen, I feel like it's a graph that kind of goes up most of the way but then tails off at the end with cursing. And what I mean by that is Shane Steichen's at the right level where he can peak, but you start swearing too much.
Yeah.
You start getting the Rex Ryan level.
Yeah.
And now you go from a double-digit win team like he did with the Jets down to way low single-digit wins, then you get fired.
You swear too much and it loses its power.
Mm-hmm.
That is also something that applies to comedy. Wow. The parallels between what we do in professional athletes is pretty identical, guys.
We basically
guys.
Are professional we're, athletes.
We are the same.
Yeah, we're the same.
Now,
same
I want to talk. Now, one of the things I really love about what Shane Steichen says, and I think it's clear in the draft, is how often he says, fired up. Hey, man, I'm fired up to get you. I am fired up to get you.
When I watched, shout out to the Colts social media stuff on YouTube, their clips, they've been killing it the past couple years with those.
Yes.
But this one with the draft, every time someone handed Ballard the phone to call, say, hey, man, we're taking you here at 15.
Right.
And we're... you know, we're happy to have you. We're excited to get you this. Da, da, da. Everyone had something sort of like variation to say. And then every time someone handed Shane the phone.
Up. I'm fired up, man.
We're fired up
we're
to
fired
get
up
you,
here
man.
To get you, man. We can't tell you. We're fired up to get to work. I'm fired up to get going else
here,
with the
be,
draft.
You be Shane.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Now, I'm the player.
Hey, man. Liatu. Coach Shane Steichen here.
Oh, hey, coach, man. It's, I'm so excited
Are
to
you
hear
fired
from
up?
You, man. I mean, yeah, man, I'm ready to get after
it. Okay, because we're fired up right here. We're fired up here to take you, get you on here on the Indianapolis Colts. We're super here fired up in Indianapolis. And I know that how do you feel right now?
I mean, coach, this is the best moment of my, I mean, I'm sorry it's so loud. My family, everybody's just so happy for me. I mean, my family is, they're
How's your dad?
They're ready to go.
How's your dad right now? Does he look fired up?
I don't know the words I would use.
What's your house pet look like right now?
Oh, man. I mean, he looks excited in a way that I can only describe.
Great.
I mean, it's how
great.
Would you describe
That's
it?
That's probably fired up.
Okay.
That's
yeah,
the way we are
yeah,
here.
I think that
we
is.
Like things fired up here at the Colts.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This is great.
Hang
God,
on,
I'm so happy.
I'm getting another one. I'm getting another call. I'm super fired up about this. This is my edible arrangement.
Well, I appreciate you. You know, you're not going to regret this pick.
I got. All right. That's fine. We're fired up, man.
Okay. Me. Okay.
It's great. I would love to see how Shane reacts to just other things that is not football that happen in his house, you know,
his kids,
you know, like say his dad, like, you know, all right, if you're Shane and I'm coming home with a report card, you know what I mean? And it's like, dad, they gave us a report card today. Can you sign off on it?
Let me take a look. What are your grades here?
I got A's on some of the ones like I did. I got an A in geometry.
Geometry. Yo, I'm fired up about that. I am fired up about that young one.
Yeah, and then I got a A in science.
Well, you know what? Your old man, he's fired up about that because science wasn't really his thing because he actually started a lot of fires in science class with Bunsen burners. So you're fired up in the right way.
Okay. I'm getting kind of hungry too, Dad, so I'll read the rest of this to you, but something.
I'm fired up to cook you something, and you know, we'll put something on the fire, we'll put the pan on the fire and get, you know, get everything roasting and get it cooking because, you know, we're fired up to get this in your belly and send it out of you, in and out of you, hopefully with not too much fire on the end of it.
I got a D in English because they said I don't have a good vocabulary.
Well, you know, now I'm cooling a little bit.
Oh, no.
It's okay, because you know what? You know what happens after you cool?
You get
fired up,
Dad.
That's right.
Dad.
Dad taught you well. Pops taught you well.
I think that there's a direct correlation to me not knowing other words because you don't.
Well, you know, that fires me down a little bit. But
getting fired down.
That fires me down something good, but you know what happens though? Sometimes you got to push a fire down before from the ashes, like the phoenix, it rises. Which rise means what? You get fired.
You get fired.
Tell me, son. Tell me, son. What is it?
You get fired up.
You get fired the F up. Okay.
You get fired to shoot up.
Honey, come to bed. It's our weekly sex night. Well, I'm fired up.
I'm fired up
to get in that.
Man, I'm fired up.
Fired up to get in that bedroom.
Listen, I wanted to tell you that our form was good tonight. I think we hit a good rhythm. First half was solid.
First half.
All three phases.
We switched it.
I think we, you know.
20 minutes in.
Good game plan.
Good
and,
halftime
I mean,
adjustments. And, you know, halftime, that's when we really got fired up.
I mean, shoot, you know.
When you did that one move with the leg?
No, I know. When I shot. When I shot, that was when I was most fired up.
Shooter Shane was fired up.
Shooter Shane shot his shot. And I just said, I screamed out loud. I was like, Chuck gives no fucks.
Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn.
Chuck gives no fucks.
Gadarn tick him. ticked. I'm ticked up and going on and all heck shucks. Fired up.
You're the first person to have clean Tourette's. You're just sitting there like, you're just like, I just want to put it in the ticked off, freaking tick.
Sorry.
Apology, Tourette's.
Here we go. So I also want to talk about the back half of the draft this mm-hmm. past, because we got to our first three picks, right? Yeah. We got to Leatu, we got to A.D. Mitchell, and then we got to Goncalves, which that doesn't matter, just as long as you lower your anchor. right. And
in
we,
your calves.
Right. And then we didn't get to the back half of the draft, right? I call it the draft back half for 2024, all right? Mm. Here's what we have, and I want to go back a little bit for what we can expect from the later rounds from the past few seasons that we've gotten. Who's on the roster now from the past few seasons?
You talked about this a little bit the other day, and it's a bit important. It's an important thing to talk about.
So we ended up taking Tanner Bordellini, who's got a mullet. It's a beautiful mane, and it's all
the Italian mullet.
It's all It's beautiful. It's like total business in the front, and then. It's a little business but party business in the back. Mm-hmm. I loved it. He ran his 40 and it was beautiful.
That's how you want your offensive lineman's hair to be. You want it to be kind of either weird or just like a little boy.
Yeah.
Look at Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
His hair looks like a little boy.
Yeah.
Ryan Kelly.
Sometimes he grows it out, but yeah.
Yeah, but it still looks like boyish.
Yeah.
Same with Ryan Kelly.
Yeah. I like it. I like because big guys, they're big, and sometimes they're just these quiet guys, and so they express themselves with like haircuts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They express themselves by being like, you know, this is what I got.
And much like boys in school, those are the most dangerous.
Exactly. A haircut will tell you everything you need to know about somebody.
I had a bowl cut when I was like 5. What does that mean?
I think that
I was the only Asian kid in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I think if you were full white, people were fucked. That's what I think. You would have shot up a whole.
I said that on stage the other day.
Yeah, that's insane, man. All right, so we had Tanner Bordellini. He was drafted as a guard. I don't know if he's depth.
He's going to replace Ryan Kelly. I'm calling it now.
You think so?
If Ryan Kelly can bring him along this year,
right. He's brought us along every year on if he's going to retire or not.
Yeah.
He brings me along all the time. He's like, I don't know. I'm not thinking about it. And then he says, I think that he had some personal stuff that he went through a few seasons ago and that was kind of tough, but.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That we don't need to talk about that. That was sad.
Yeah. That was sad.
Sad as fuck.
It was, but I just mean like, I also think it might've been the influence of the culture and maybe the coach that was kind of making him feel like, oh, I'm just losing my love for. You know, I'm losing my love for what I have to do professionally.
Interesting. Yeah. And then Shane, you think maybe turn that around a little bit?
I think Shane's going to turn around a lot of stuff.
I am such a Shane Steichen fan.
Steichen's going to bring it, dude.
I mean, I'm freaking fired up, man. I'm freaking fired up. To the Tanner thing, I think because he's mainly a center.
Oh, okay.
And guard, like that's his flexibility. But he played a lot of center and he's the only one we drafted. And Ryan Kelly's on his last year.
Oh, before so he
hits free agency.
Oh, yeah. I see.
So,
and you think that they're not going to take Ryan Kelly again?
I think Fries is also a free agent
after
this year. And I think they might, but Ryan Kelly's getting up there, man. Mm. He's getting up there in
30-something, right?
And I think he's still, he's not quite
drafted in 2017, yeah, I think.
He made the Pro Bowl, I think, once, maybe twice. Mm. But it was like a couple years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago. So I think he's like kind of on the downswing.
Hmm.
So
he is 30 years old.
I think they might pick him up for 1 or 2 more years, but I think Tanner is they're planning on him being the successor.
2016 is when he was drafted, which is, you know, he's 8 years, years. He's in the thing. But I think the thing that it's like offensive linemen and defensive linemen. You're kind of just saying and spraying a little bit. You're kind of just like, I'm hoping that somebody is gonna step up and fill. You know, you could think you draft somebody for depth, but they end up stepping up into a much larger role.
Interesting. I've always thought the same thing. It's like, say it, you say and spraying it. I also think of it kind of like a sawed off shotgun. Like there's the spread of it. Like you just go, bam, there's a spread of it. And you're like, hey, I guess one of those hit.
Exactly.
One of those hit.
That's why I think he drafts so many bigs in all of his drafts. You know, he doesn't spend a lot on the skill positions. Unless you have like a Quentin Nelson who was like, no, that's the dude.
So that's why those Quentin Nelsons, the Trent Williamses, the Orlando Browns, those are the kind of guys that people pick up in free agency. Maybe not even Orlando Brown in that category, but they're like those, because linemen you don't usually want to pick up in free agency unless they're just a stopgap.
Yeah, of course.
Because like you said, the draft is where you want to say it and spray it and then see what you get. And then hopefully you build from there. That's why the Colts have pretty much had a great offensive line for so many years. And when the years they haven't, it's because they went into free agency and tried to fill a plug a bunch of holes, especially in the Gregson era.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the worst offensive line in Colts history for those years. And it was like LaRaven Clark at left tackle that we picked up. For, I mean, I think we drafted him, actually. But there was like a whole bunch of, you know, what was that dude that was Gosder Cherilis that was supposed to be? We paid
an epic name.
Mad money at right tackle, I think. And he just flailed and failed. But the pick I want to get to, which late round pick from round, let's say five down, are you most excited about?
Anthony Gould.
100% Anthony Gould.
Anthony Gould. I mean, it's not just that he's going to be a wide receiver; it's that he's going to be a punt returner.
That's where he's going to
flourish
shine the most.
Yeah,
but he's got such a scat back level of movement. When I watched his highlights, the way he moves is so. Ballard is he's still got a little bit of that Kansas City in him, where it's like, let's get the speedsters.
Yeah.
Let's get people that can fly. And I know Pittman, Pierce are big dudes. They have good long speed, but they're not as twitchy. Which, by the way, I looked it up today because Downs, we were talking a lot about Downs and how high we are in him.
Yes.
And we were talking about last episode about he's not going to have a sophomore slump. And, like, there's no way. And then just today, the article came out about him talking about how he's going to take the year two leap, and how Jim Bob Cooter was talking about how important it is that Downs takes the leap, because of the fact that when you're playing in the slot, you kind of have to know everyone else's routes, because it's almost like, I feel like the way he was putting it was like, you want to avoid collisions. It's like driving in the middle lane on a freeway. Like, you don't have to pay attention to merging left or merging right. You got to do both. You got to pay attention to like where you're going. So it's like, you have to kind of know everyone's route tree, not just your own. Whereas the outside guys, Pittman, Pierce, and now A.D. Mitchell, are going to, they just focus
just
on what
singular.
They just go up against whoever or in a zone, and they just do what their route is. But I did look this up. I want to see if you can guess this. So Josh Downs had 3.3 yards of separation per target, per route run.
I mean,
that's first place, tied with, can you guess?
I'm going to say Tyreek.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Shucks and shooting.
I'm fired up about what I just did, man. I'm so fired up right now, boy. I'm fired up.
Bro, you're blazing. You is blazing.
Damn.
You blazing.
Fired up about how Downs we just were right now.
Man, you so down for it?
Let me tell you, though. I mean, it's not an unreasonable.
Fired Downs.
I did. I was fired Downs. It's not an unreasonable comp, because they're similar bodies, you know, the similar bodies as far as their height and overall weight, like their proportions. I don't think that doesn't shock me. And Downs passed the eye test every freaking time, man. Like, I mean, you know, you can look at, I'm glad that a stat like that supports something like the eye test, because every time that Josh Downs is on the screen, he has got separation. It's incredible. I just looked this up, by the way, just in the interest of talking about wide receiver Anthony Gould. What is the new kickoff rule? And it says the kick will be from the 20-yard line, and the kicker will have the option to use a tee. The setup zone and the landing zone will not change. I don't understand that.
Basically, okay, here's all you really need to know. It's the same thing they did, I think, in the UFL or the XFL, one of those other leagues. They're just doing the same thing they're doing, which is they're in like a zone, like I don't remember. I looked it up the other day and I totally forgot it, because like you said just now, it's confusing as fuck.
Yeah.
But I know what the probabilities say and what the stats are saying. Like, basically, there's going to be way more returns. The whole goal is to no more touchbacks as much as possible.
Oh, that's great.
So that's why they draft.
Like
Chris Ballard is playing chess, bro.
Yeah.
I think he said that's one of the reasons why he wanted to draft Gould. You know, because he's just like, look, maybe he's not got a lot of hype around him, but it's like, as a kick returner and punt returner, specifically kick returner, I mean, if you're going to be returning it a lot, the more chances you have to bust that home run hit.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I think you do, as a GM, have to look at not what the climate is, but what it's going to be and where it's headed. Because, like, again, quarterbacks are so much more protected now, right? And how important it is to protect those quarterbacks, how important it is to get to the quarterbacks, how important it is to draft somebody for size in your secondary, because they have like the drop hip rule or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, imagine trying to pull down a Travis Kelce. Yeah, exactly. That's how Kenny tackles
everybody.
Exactly. So that's an issue. You know what I mean? But of course,
I hate that rule.
You know,
I hate that rule so much.
I mean, I saw a few clips from last season where Anthony Richardson got tackled that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that helps our cause, but it also kind of hurts it as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Ballard has been somebody who drafts for a lot of traits, or has in the past. EJ Speed is big. Zaire is big. They're intense guys who hit. Also, this guy that they just drafted, Jalen Carlisle.
Yeah.
He was drafted, I believe, to play
special teams.
No, I think safety, right? Well, I mean, potentially for safety.
He had
like a history as a linebacker, right?
He's going to be a safety linebacker hybrid box
guy
in the box. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a big guy as well. And then you've got Jalen Simpson, cornerback. And then you've got a corner, Micah Abraham. And then a seventh rounder, Jonah Lealu, it's good to stay on brand for this draft.
Yeah, lots of L's and U's.
Yeah, just tripping me up at every opportunity. Now,
L's.
This is what the back half of the past few seasons have looked like from rounds like four and on. All right, last season in round four, we took Adetoware,
another edge guy that could is in the mix.
Who knows? We took Daniel Scott, injured last season. We don't know what he is. Potentially special teamer, potentially safety. Because, dear God, Rodney Thomas. Will Mallory, fifth round. Evan Hall, running back, fifth round. Then we got Jalen Jones, round seven, who is probably going to be one of the starters for corner.
He earned it. He earned it.
He did great.
Him and Juju on the outside might be a deceptively strong duo at corner.
Yeah. Other people who are still on the roster from the previous season, you've got Eric Johnson, taken in the fifth round, also defensive front. You have Ogletree taken in the sixth round. Rodney Thomas taken in the seventh. And then Dallas Flowers, who was undrafted. Mm-hmm. So he's also somebody who was acquired through free agency. 2021, you have Will Fries in the seventh round, who I think was incredible. Mm-hmm. Incredible pickup for the value that we get for that.
Yeah.
Granson, who I do think has been... I like him.
He's
I like
clutch.
Granson.
He can be clutch.
He is.
He can be very clutch.
Fourth rounder. Odangbo, second. Quiddy, one. Again, those are earlier rounds. And then 2020 season, we had Danny Pinner in the fifth round and Isaiah Rodgers, sixth. I loved Isaiah Rodgers. I know he's gone and he's not on the team anymore. I loved Isaiah Rodgers.
Yeah, you were huge on it. I liked him a lot.
He was just twitchy and quick.
And he took leaps.
Yeah.
He took leaps in his progress as a player.
Yeah.
Who's the one you said before Rodgers?
Danny Pinner.
Yeah, I liked Pinter. I was a Pinter fan.
I liked him too.
He couldn't play guard to save his life, but he was a great backup center.
Center, yeah, I liked him too. I put what we have here. What can we expect? Because this is kind of what we're looking like for some of these rounds. I mean, Ballard values those later rounds, and I think I think. Tell me if this makes sense to you. Modeling the draft almost in this way: up front, you're using your quarterbacks, Your quarterback picks and your bigs are kind of for the earlier rounds. And then for skill positions and wide receivers, you're using towards like your middle and later.
I don't know. You're talking about just the Colts, like the way or just how you should think in general, how one should think about it.
I mean, it just feels like things are changing, rules are changing. How you can hit somebody changes, how you can protect somebody changes. There's just where you value. Yeah, I looked it up also, the most successful pick that you can pick in the first round, who is not projected to be a bust or who doesn't project to be a bust, is an offensive lineman.
Interesting.
In the first round.
Interesting. That's good for Joe Alt.
That's good for a lot of people.
So let me just try and follow what you're saying, because it's a complex but important point.
Yeah.
you're saying like, okay, so the rule changes. You want with the hip drop, so now you want people that tackle less like that. So you want bigger guys in the back end.
Right.
And but it's a pass heavy league still.
Yeah.
So you need guys that can cover and you need pass rush. So in that sense, but then you've got the stat about like, you know, the least amount being a bust would be an offensive lineman in the first round.
These are two separate points that I'm making here. One being like where the league is going as far as what the prototypical player is gonna look like and how the rules support those players. Mm-hmm. And then what I'm talking about the draft is I just think a lot of these earlier rounds are used for like the bigs, like you got like the edge rushers, you've got the disruptors in like the defensive, mm-hmm. you know, interior, and then you've got the people who are trying to protect their quarterback, because as our defensive line kind of showed, anybody who played us last year, if you had time to throw, you can pretty much shred our secondary.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, now wide receivers, like if you take a wide receiver in the second round, which I think is the money round to be taking a wide receiver, I think there's a lot of great ones that come out of there, DK Metcalf, I mean, or late first, you know, then yeah, that's an exception. And then obviously quarterbacks, you know, first round, that can happen. That's kind of where quarterbacks are, first round, second round picks. That's kind of where they end up. But for the most part, if you're taking a skill position like a corner or somebody in your secondary, I think especially somebody in your secondary, I think you're taking them in the later rounds. I think even your offense, like a lot of people don't take tight ends. They're in the first round. They take tight ends, you know, a little bit later. All of our tight ends were taken fourth round and on, you know what I mean? So I just mean like it just feels like all these other positional groups like running back, you know, that even that's like second round, like to take a first rounder running back is it's different. It's not like the 90s or like it was before.
It happens like there's like one every first round now.
Yeah.
It's like one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it just feels like the earlier rounds are really being spent on like these bigger guys, these guys who are explosive and up front. And then you can kind of get somebody who like maybe like a Jalen Jones or an Isaiah Rodgers. These people are serviceable, or they could even be more than serviceable. Mm-hmm. But it's affected and manipulated by these bigger guys up front.
I would agree with that. Now I see what you're saying, and I would 100% agree with that.
Like I would go very far back in the draft.
I think on the back half of the draft is where you get most of your corners.
You would go round 3. I would go round 7.
You'd go undrafted.
I would go undrafted. I'm at Dallas Flowers.
Yeah.
I'm a Dallas Flowers. People get mad at me. I'm injured all the time.
Watch your ACL, watch your Achilles.
Yeah.
I feel like in the back half of the draft too is where you get nowadays is like where you're getting like to your point, you're getting all your linebackers.
Yes.
Your safeties, your corners.
Yeah, you don't take a linebacker early anymore. Nobody does.
There was like
unless there's a technique where they can move forward, like a TJ Watt or something.
Yeah, like a 3-4 OLB or something. Yeah. Or you get a generational talent like a Roquan Smith.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who was sort of like...
He's on the Ravens, right?
Yeah, he's kind of like the second coming of Ray Lewis a little bit. Obviously, no one's Ray Lewis, but...
Yeah.
But no, I would agree with you actually 100% on that. Before we get out of here, I want to... We got like 4 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
I want to quickly just get into kind of making fun of the AFC South.
Okay.
Because we hate them. But in their draft, so...
Yeah.
The Jags, let's just start with them because I want to make fun of them. Wow. What are they even doing? They got an A- from NFL.com, same as what we got. It doesn't make any fucking sense. I'm bringing the hate again. Make any fucking sense to me. They drafted Brian Thomas Jr. I get that. Because you have to replace Calvin Ridley.
I like that.
And Zay Jones.
Yeah.
And let's face it, Zay Jones isn't like a big name, mm-hmm. but when he was in the red zone, he was putting up numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, because they would focus on everybody else. Zay Jones just knew how to run the routes he ran, was big enough to make contested catches in the red zone.
Yeah.
But, and then Ridley was just, you know, it is what it is. But I just think, I love that the Jags are just focusing too much on wide receiver. To your point that you just made about drafting and things like that, it's like the importance of them just trying to play with this carousel of wide receivers. Brian Thomas Jr. Can't replace Calvin Ridley and Zay Jones. Like
in recent history, though, the Jags have not drafted very well.
I think that's why I think it's
asinine that they would give him such a high grade, because it's also like how what evidence do you have to support a grade like that when in the past they haven't historically drafted well.
Yeah. No, but that's what makes me, I just love it. I love shitting on him with it. Because you know what else they did? They drafted a running back. Like, mm-hmm. I think, what was it? Like, second or third round or something? Mm-hmm. And even though they have ETN, mm-hmm. Bigsby, who they drafted last year, and D'Ernest Johnson, who they picked up in free agency. Yeah. Like, why did they even go for a running back at all?
I know.
Bigsby's like, was drafted high last year by them. Again, mm-hmm. just same as this guy this year, mm-hmm. whoever they draft. I don't even know his name. And then, so I don't know. What do you think about that? I just love that they're just loading up in all the wrong positions for no reason.
Who's to say? But again, who's to say who's wrong? It's really about
Trevor Lawrence.
You know, I think it is
that offensive line.
They could make the same case for some of the positional groups that we continue to draft every year. We're drafting defensive line, and we're drafting them early. You know what I mean? Every year, pretty much. Except last year.
And now look what happened. Our sack total was the highest it's ever been last year.
That's true.
And it's climbed every year.
I mean, it still has not really, you know. Yeah, but it still doesn't quite.
Like, we don't have a Josh Allen, I get it. But, right. But, which they just signed to a long-term deal, which was, I think, smart on their part.
Yeah, he's a great player.
But I just don't think, to the position groups you were just talking about with the mm-hmm. draft and what's important, the ones that we are loading up on that they could make the same argument for us are the ones you're saying are important.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receiver and running back are not two of those.
Right.
And that's what they're loading up on. They got four running backs now that were all starters at some point,
mm-hmm.
except for Tank Bigsby. And if you count college,
yeah,
whatever. And then you got Brian Thomas Jr. was their first round pick. That's who they used their first round pick on.
I liked Brian Thomas Jr. I was really, really high on him.
Yeah. But they let Ridley walk and Zay Jones walk.
Yeah.
And so now it's Brian Thomas Jr., mm-hmm. Christian Kirk, mm-hmm. Agnew is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck else?
Zay Jones? Do they have Zay Jones over there?
No, I was just saying he's out.
He's out? Zay Jones is gone?
I'm pretty sure he's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, look it up again for me, because I'm pretty sure he's gone.
Okay.
I could be, I mean, now you're making me question.
I think he's still there. I could be wrong, but I think he's still there.
I'm pretty sure he's gone. I thought he went somewhere else.
Let's see. Agent.
He got picked up by, I want to say, like, the Bills or some random ass team. But
he played college football, blah, blah, blah. No, current team, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Why am I...
Current team. That's what it says the current team is.
I don't know, man. Give me one sec, because I'm pretty sure I just saw this shit.
Jacksonville Jaguars, 2022-23.
They also drafted a kicker.
Oh, no. On April 30th, 2024, Jones was released by the Jaguars.
Yeah, there we go. So no Jones, no Ridley, no Agnew.
Hmm.
They used to have five receivers. They were stacked.
Yeah.
Now they have two.
Well, I think it's changing. Like, I think, like I said, I think it's changing. I think the Chiefs, who do the Chiefs have as their wide receiving core? Who also have they had? Not a lot.
Yeah, but they also have a Patrick Mahomes.
And exactly.
Who they developed correctly, and Trevor Lawrence is about to not be developed correctly if they don't give him an offensive line and all these other things. It's 105 right now. You want to move on real quick?
Go ahead.
So, Texans... I hate to say it, they had a great draft. I am.
Yeah.
Someone said, the Texans have transformed themselves into legitimate contenders quickly, so much so that they could afford to trade away a first round pick, which was smart. Mm-hmm. So they traded away the first round. They got a CB in the second round, which is what they needed, and they had nine total picks. So I fucking.
Is nine picks good?
I think for them, that's how loaded they are. That's what they're saying. That's how loaded they are as a team already, is they could afford to just move back a bunch, collect picks, and just see which one works out, kind of like what Ballard tries to do.
Yeah.
So. That's how in contention they are. And I think them picking a cornerback, that Kamari Lassiter guy in the first round, was smart on them. Who knows if he's going to be good. The Titans, we can easily make fun of them. They're just in shambles. They paid a bunch of money for L'Jarius Sneed for no reason, seemingly.
Right.
And Derrick Henry's gone. Like, what the... Like, and then they drafted... Who did they even draft, dude? They're drafted a B-plus grade. The OT was smart. But then it was just a bunch of... Yeah, a big up front and a linebacker in the fourth round. A DB, a wide receiver, an LB, and an LB. So I guess they're trying to get the defense back to something, because their defense is nothing now.
I like Nick Caserio over in the Texans. I think if you get the GM, you get the quarterback, and you get the head coach, which it looks like they have, and we're hoping to have, I mean, I think that combination is the thing that continues to produce wins in this league. And he's got the right amount of aggression, and he came in right around the time when it was pivotal. He came in 21, Nick Caserio did. I mean, I just think the best GMs are ones who are able to forecast a trend and continue to follow it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the template everybody seems to have seen is what the Chiefs are doing with a lean, young defense and a secondary that's trained up and that's coached well up front with somebody that's like a superstar edge or interior disruptor. And then you've got a superstar quarterback that you protect. And that's pretty much it. And, you know, then you've got a little bit of rotational superstars where it's like, all right, our superstar is Jonathan Taylor, who's a running back, all right? Mm-hmm. But maybe their superstar is a Travis Kelce that's a tight end, you know?
So to your point, before we go, I think that's my high hopes for the Colts. Mm-hmm. That's my high hopes for them right there, is because the GM head coach thing I think is finally locked in. I think Shane Steichen's
quarterback as well.
His cussing and his fired upness mm-hmm. is bringing out that side of Ballard now. Ballard yeah. didn't have, like you said, he wasn't. Now he's dropping F-bombs. Now it's going good. And Ballard is good at forecasting.
Yeah.
While Shane is good at forecasting during games.
Sierra,
he sets up.
Sierra, I have a question for you.
Yes.
If somebody swears in like a motivational way, mm-hmm. this is Sierra, she's our producer
here. Think
if you were to think, like if you were to be sworn, like if you were to try to get pumped up, right? Like you're going to a friend for a pep talk mm-hmm. and they swear. Do you feel that much more connected to their pep talk?
I guess, yeah, sure.
You guess? Well, it's context, right?
I would say...
Think about it if it's something where you need some aggression and you need some...
Right.
You need some...
If you were like...
You need a little bit of that masculine, like fortitude, like that energy.
Yeah, if she's telling you about, like, you know, leave that guy, right? If she's like, you know, that guy's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
That guy's, you know, you need, you're a queen. You're a queen. You're a bad bitch.
Queen.
You're a bad
with
bitch.
With a Yankees
and
hat.
You're gonna get your shit together meet me at the bar, and then we're gonna fuck up the night, right? Like, so that's a few sprinkled in swear words that I think, like, you're like, all right, I vibe with this. Rather than saying, yeah, Dylan, he was a bum.
Listen, girl, you just need to.
You're put together.
Pick yourself up by your bootstraps, right?
Like, don't you feel more connected to the first way? Okay,
you do. Okay,
right. That's a great way to end it. There,
I think it's fantastic.
I think so.
That's what it is. Authenticity. It's not
authentic.
Toxic masculinity.
It's authenticity.
I'm fired up. We just fixed toxic masculinity.
I'm fired up
right
now,
ladies and gentlemen. That is episode 4 of the Cold Blooded Podcast. That's your co-host Drew Lynch,
and that is my co-host Isaac Allen over there. Everybody,
go horse, bitches. Go horse. We're fired up.